You may be seated. You know, I want to talk about a subject. Actually, it's a critical subject that we all have to deal with. And it's discouragement. You can win over discouragement. Has anybody ever been discouraged? I got five people that have been discouraged, six counting me, in this whole audience. Discouragement is something that comes to all of us sometime or another, right? And, you know, somebody said, well, I don't need that message. Well, if you don't need it now, you'll need it later. So learn something. We have to guard against letting discouragement into our life. The enemy will try to bring discouragement to you so that you will not reap the benefits of the blessings of God that belong to you. You know, sometimes some people think the Christian life should be some kind of nonstop euphoria, you know, just always everything is good. But actually, if you read that last verse there in John's gospel, Jesus said, these things I have told you because that you will have trouble in this world. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Yes, you see, this is a quote from the late Billy Graham. I think everybody knows who Billy Graham was. The Christian life is not high. I have my moments of deep discouragement. I have to go to God in prayer with tears in my eyes and say, oh, God, help me. See, discouragement comes to everybody. I don't care who you are. I don't care how famous you are. I don't care how much faith you have or don't have. Discouragement was the main thing that kept the children of Israel out of the promised land. You say, what are you talking about? Well, the spies came back from the promised land, and instead of an encouraging report, we can go and take the land, they brought it back. We can't do it, until they got the people's hearts so discouraged that they said, no, we can't do it. We can't take the land. But you see, it was the discouragement that the spies brought back to them that caused them to say, we can't go in. Only two of the 12 that went in, 10 of them said we can't, two said we could. The two that said we could did. They were the only two of the old generation that went in. Now, as we begin to look into this, I want us to read from Deuteronomy 1:21. And I'm going to look at it from several different translations. First of all, I'm going to read the NLT, the New Living Translation. Look, he has placed the land in front of you. Go and occupy it as the Lord, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. This is Moses trying to encourage the Israelites to go take the land. The original Living Bible said, don't be afraid. Don't doubt. The Message Bible says, don't be afraid. Don't lose heart. The Voice Bible says, don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. You see, the 10 spies, the report they brought back, discouraged the people, got them intimidated in the fact that they couldn't take the land because there were giants there. So this generation of Israelites did not take the land God wanted them to. They lived out the rest of their life in the wilderness because they were discouraged by a report. That's why we need to continually read the Word of God, because it will encourage you. It will lift you up. It will put you where you can receive. We must guard against discouragement. And I say that because discouragement comes from you making a choice to either let something bother you or not bother you. Discouragement is baggage that you don't need to carry around. It'll tire you out physically. It will drain you spiritually and emotionally. If you allow the discouragement into your life, it will actually, many people that take end up taking their own life, it started out through discouragement. And then it took them down that path. You know, that's what the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he's wanting to do. Jesus come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You ever notice there's not much life where discouragement is around? Anybody ever notice that? I got two people shaking their heads. Thank you for that help. You know, I'm preaching better than I'm getting any response up here. You know, in Hebrews 6:9, I'm going to read out of the Voice. If you notice, I use a lot of different translations. I read a lot from the NLT as well as the New King James, but I like to go to the different translations because it gives you a little different slant or a little different view from different translations. The archaic New Testament Greek language, the Greek exists, but it's not the New Testament Greek. It doesn't exist today. So many of their words carried with it different ideas or connotations with it, like the word paraclete, which talks about the Holy Spirit. If you'll read that, it carries with it, there's seven different things: helper, standby, intercessor, the different words. And, you know, also, they had different words. They had, four different words for love. We got one word we use love. So here it is in the Voice. I want to read this, Hebrews 6. Everybody found it? I talked long enough for you to find it. But listen, my friends, we don't mean to discourage you completely with such talk. We are convinced that you are made for better things of salvation, because God is not unjust or unfair. He won't overlook the work you've done or the love you have carried to each other in his name while doing his work, as you're still doing. Notice this scripture, and what I want you to pay particular attention to, and I like in this scripture, is that God has created us for better things. If you will believe the scripture, what the Bible says, and have faith in what God has said, you can have a better life. You know, if you ask most people that have been Christians for a long time, and even a short time sometimes, how many of them, and I'm going to ask you that question, let's see what kind of answer we get. How many of you are a lot better off than you were before you started serving Christ?
Amen.
Right. You see, God is faithful to reward those that will believe and trust him. You know, even though you can't see something going on at the moment, but if you are constantly believing and expecting the blessings of God to come, they will come. Too often we allow Satan to discourage us. And a discouraged person will not try to accomplish anything, because if Satan can get you discouraged, then he goes on and leaves you alone, because you're not a major threat to his kingdom. Anytime you start feeling discouraged, you need to know that that's the enemy working on you to get you out of receiving all the blessings that God has for you. Now, how does Satan work? Well, he discourages us with things that are around us in our world that we live in. Okay? Sometimes it's people that, and some of them sometimes are close friends. Sometimes it can be even be family members that will try to get you when something goes wrong. Instead of encouraging you and saying you can make it, they said, yeah, that's the way I thought it's going to happen. You're going to end up just like everybody else. You know, sometimes people will say unkind things to us. Unkind words that undermine us. You know, if I listen to all the people say about me and how bad I am and all that, if you somebody said you ought to read what they got on the internet, I said, I ain't interested in reading it. Half of it ain't true anyway. And the other half of it, they have exaggerated and taken words out of context and made me say something I didn't even say. You know, but it's been a few years now, and a man came up to me one time in one of my crusades, and he said, I just don't like your preaching. And you know what? I just stood there and looked at him straight in the eye, and I said, that's your problem, not mine. Hallelujah. That's exactly what I did. Now, if you're not careful, word like that can discourage you, especially if you thought you didn't do a good job in the first place. All of us that minister, I've been doing this for over 60 years. I don't know how many years Brother John ministered. 40. You know, and I'm sure he's just like I am. I'm sure that he's walked off of that platform on a Sunday morning and thinking, Lord help. We all do. And then somebody comes up and says something. I mean, man, that's when they usually get you, to try to discourage you. But I have made up my mind that I'm not going to let what people say, I'm not going to let circumstances and other things discourage me from doing what the Word of God says that I can do and receiving what God says I can receive. Amen. You know, sometimes discouragement comes because the task at hand seems overwhelming. Well, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen. So then there's no task that you can't accomplish if you rely on God. The Bible says that if you need wisdom, ask and he'll give it to you. You see, we, instead of letting discouragement come in and take over, let's turn it around. Amen. And begin to realize, take the word of God against those things. You know, one of the times that discouragement can really come in is if you're tired and overworked. And this happens in the ministry a lot. I mean, you're working, you're preaching and you're going and you don't see some things going like they should. You know, the enemy comes and says, yeah, I told you, you shouldn't have been doing this in the first place. Hey, he talks to us just like he does you. If he can get you discouraged, he can get you out of receiving all of the blessings of God that belong to you. Hello, y'all there? Y'all gone home already? You know, although you may be in a situation or in the circumstances that have disappointed you or disappointment is there. But you know what? You do not have to become discouraged just because you're disappointed. Disappointment reflects the circumstances we're facing. Discouragement is a state of mind or attitude. You can choose to be discouraged or you can choose not to be discouraged. Too often, we allow ourselves to become discouraged because something disappointed us. I have seen that happen many, 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 many times. I've seen people that quit believing in healing because somebody didn't get healed. Well, I want to turn that. I told one guy this and he got mad at me. I said, have you quit believing in salvation just because somebody didn't get saved?
Well, Lord, no.
Well, I said, then why are you quit believing in healing just because somebody didn't get healed? My best friend, though, and I was praying. I said, well, I've had that happen to me, too, with family members. But I'm not going to quit believing what God said. Come on now. Charles Stanley says this. Disappointment is inevitable. But to become discouraged, there's a choice I make. God would never discourage me. He would always point me to himself to trust him. Therefore, my discouragement is from Satan. Yes. Any of you know ever heard Charles Stanley? He's on TV. He's a pretty good preacher. You know, today you can choose to yield to Satan's trap of discouragement, or you can choose not to be discouraged. Man, I faced many, many opportunities to be discouraged. But I'm not going to be discouraged. Satan is always trying to discourage you, to draw you away from receiving what God has for you. Temptation to be discouraged many times comes just before the victory. We got to learn to look past discouragement and not quit. You know, I was watching our Rhema Bible College basketball, the ladies and the men basketball team. They just played in the Association of Christian College Athletics National Tournament. The guys didn't do too well. The girls made it to the finals. And they were outclassed and outnumbered, and they were getting beat pretty good. But I wrote a little deal and told somebody to tell them, say, hey, you're never a loser as long as you don't quit. They fought to the very end, even though they were behind. They never quit. They never, and many times when a team, I've been on those teams, and I've been mad at the guys because I know I don't quit. But they would, oh, we're beat anyway, so why even play? See, discouragement gets there. You know, I when I was playing football, if a guy was running for a touchdown, I would chase him. Sometimes I knew I didn't have a crying chance of catching him. Sometimes I did because I was really fast. But I would chase them until they went all across the goal line. Because you don't ever know. They could trip and fall down. They could fall. In fact, there's some of the real, you know, they play these funny things that happen. A guy's running down the field, ain't anybody close to him, and he's running for a touchdown, and he hits the ball on his hip and it knocks it loose, and the ball is running on the ground there. So if somebody from the opposite team is chasing, hadn't quit, they can get the ball. Yes. You know, discouragement will cause you to quit. You don't quit. You always continue to believe what God's word says. And then another thing that the enemy does is to get you to believe that you're the only one that's ever faced any problem like this. Yes. Well, that's not true either. Okay? Now, anybody ever know of a man in the Bible by the name of David? I think we all know David. In Psalms 42, 5 through 8, in the NLT, the New Living Translation, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior, my God. Now I'm deeply discouraged, but I will remember you even from the distant Mount Hermon to the source of the Jordan to the land of Mount Mizar. Now David had a lot of discouragement in his life. His brothers made fun of him when he told King Saul that he'd go fight Goliath. King Saul tried to kill David and chased him all over the country. When he became king, one of his own sons pulled a coup and tried to overthrow him from the throne. I believe David had many, many opportunities to be discouraged. And that's just a few. You could go on down whenever they came back to Ziklag, the town there, and they'd been burned and their wives and their kids were all taken away. You know, but David had every reason to be discouraged, but he turned to the Lord for his help and would help him rise out of discouragement. Now, do we know, how many of you know a prophet by the name of Elijah? In 1 Kings 19:4-5, it says, then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said, take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who've already died. Then he laid down and stepped under the broom tree. Now, number one, he didn't want to die in the first place. That was just him having a pity party. If he wanted to die, all he had to do is stay where he was, and Jezebel would have already had his head off. Because, you see, he had confronted the prophets of Baal, her prophets, at Mount Carmel. He defeated them. Then he prayed for the rain, and the rain came. And then he outrun the king's chariot across the valley of Jezreel there. And he gets back into town, and Jezebel says, by this time tomorrow, I'm going to have your head. And so he takes off running. Now he feels he's the only one. And he says, I'm the only one serving God. You know, he had had a fantastic day of triumph. And now he's out here discouraged all by himself. And that's what you do. People do when they get discouraged, they pull off by themselves. He's out there, oh God, I'm the only one left that's serving you. I might as well just take my life. He didn't want to die in the first place. He's just out there, you know, in down in the dumps. And God come to him and said, hey, listen, Elijah, I'm going to paraphrase Hagin translation now, okay? What are you doing out here? Get up. You're not the only one. There's thousands that hadn't bowed their knee to Baal. Get up and get on with what I told you to do. Now, that's what he told him. He told him to go down to here, and then he told him to go to another place. You see, God came in there and brought encouragement. He said, what are you doing here? Get up and get out of here. This is not where you belong. You don't belong on Discouragement Avenue. Too many people living on Discouragement Avenue right down next to Grumble Alley instead of living on Hallelujah Boulevard right next to Glory Road. See, that's where we need to live, right? Now, anybody ever heard of somebody by the name of Apostle Paul? You know, the Apostle Paul had many, many opportunities to be discouraged. I mean, God told him to go down there to Philippi and preach the gospel. He went down there and preached. They took him, put him in jail, beat the fire out of him, locked him in stocks and bonds, put him down in the dungeon. I think you have a little, oh God, what am I doing down here? I mean, I'm doing what you told me to do. But no, he began to sing praises to God. And the jail busted open. Many times he said that when different ones would come to him, but in 2 Corinthians 7:6 in the New Living, he says, but God who encourages those that are discouraged encouraged us by the arrival of Titus. So he must have been discouraged, and Titus came to him. And the words that Titus had to say to him were encouraging words that lifted him up. Sometimes we need to have somebody that will give us an encouraging word. Yes, amen. You know, we don't realize that sometimes, but just saying something nice to somebody sometimes means a difference in the world. A positive word to somebody. This somebody that's going through a trial. I've been there many, many times with many people. They don't need me to quote the word to them. They know the word already. They're members of the church. But you know what? I just put my arm around their shoulder and said, hey, you can make it. This is just a little temporary upset. You can make it. You know, sometimes just are doing something for somebody will encourage them. Lynette and I all the time are trying to help do something. We were at our anniversary, our 53rd anniversary, and we went to a place up there, a real nice restaurant, and I was sitting. I didn't see the people, but a couple came in, and they were an elderly couple. And Lynette realized she heard they were talking. They were celebrating an anniversary also. But she noticed that once they looked at the menu, that they only ordered one steak, and they halved it. And they only ordered one of everything, and they split it. And they only ordered one baked potato, and they split it. And so she said, you know what? They probably didn't realize the expense of this restaurant. They're probably on a fixed income. Let's pay for their meal. Well, we did. The waiter, he couldn't believe it. Then they couldn't believe it either. And so they asked us our name. We told them. I guess they looked our name up because they wrote us then later, a week or two later, we got a thank you from them and saying how encouraging that was to them to buy their meal. I didn't know them from Adam. I never seen them in my life. Someone said, well, you mean you did something for you? You said you didn't know who they were? No, I didn't know who they were. But you see, what I didn't realize, though, just doing that, then when they somehow found out who we were and they wrote us a little thank you, and they were talking about how it encouraged them. You know, I was going through a drive-thru. Oh, it's been years. And then I started to paint and say, oh, people in front of you already paid for yours. I mean, you know, praise the Lord. We all can do something for somebody. You don't realize what that will help somebody. We did a drive in our church years ago. VIP. We had these little cards that said very important person. And we encouraged all of the people in the church to do it, and they did it. It was fantastic, the reports we got, because If you paid for somebody, you give them this card and the waiter would give it to them. Or if you go through the drive-thru, you'd pay for it, the people behind you, and give them the card. And it had the church's name and everything on it. There was this one lady. I forget the exact testimony, but she came back and said, you know, that her husband had left her and now here she is with her kids and she barely got enough money to even eat. And so she was going to take some of the last money they had and buy her and the kids something to eat. And when she got up there, it had already been paid for, and she got this little card saying, you're a very important person. We care about you. That made a big difference in her life. That was an encouragement. What am I talking to you about? Hey, don't become discouraged. Become an encourager. Become somebody that helps somebody that is discouraged. Yes. Now, real quick here. Oh, man, I've taken longer than I thought I was. Okay. It's almost time to quit. I want to look at David again. Now we read those scriptures in the beginning. Remember reading the scriptures there about David in the beginning of what he's there in Psalms? How many of you remember that? Huh? Or did you forget it already? Psalms 42, okay? Now let's go back. In 42:11, he says, "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior, my God." Now, I want to look at four things that David did here. Here we see that he did not view this discouragement as permanent. He said he would put his hope and his praise in God to get over his discouragement. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? He asks himself the question. Then he turns around and says, "Hey, I'll put my hope in God. I'll praise him, my Savior, my God." He's saying, this is my way out of my sadness and my discouragement. Then it says in 43:4-5, "Therefore I will go to the altar of God, the source of all my joy. I will praise him I will praise you with my harp, oh my God. Why am I discouraged? Why am I so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior, my God." Here, he drew near to God. He realized that if he was going to get rid of his discouragement, he has to go to the altar of God. I'm sure he didn't always feel like it, but he did it anyway. You know, when we draw close to God, he looks bigger and our discouragement looks smaller. Amen. Little story. Little boy asked his father how big God was. And so his father pointed at a big jet aircraft up in the sky flying. He said, "How big is that airplane?" Little boy said, "Doesn't look very big." Then the father took him to the airport, right up beside of a huge jet sitting on the runway. Then he asked, "How big is that airplane?" The little boy with big eyes said, "It's very big." Then the father said to the little boy, "Son, how big God is to you depends on how far or how near you are to him." Come on now. The sooner we draw near to God, the easier it is to walk in victory. Then another thing that David did, David declared that the Lord was there to help him. You find that in 1 Chronicles 28:20. Then David continued, "Be strong and courageous. Do the work. Don't be afraid of discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. He will see to it that all the work related to the temple of the Lord is finished correctly." Here David is admonishing his son Solomon that he's going to build the temple. He reminded Solomon that with God's help, he could do it. "Don't become discouraged," he said. "Don't be afraid, for the Lord God, my God." See, there you got to get to the point that is my God. Yes. You know, sometimes it's saying our God is a great God. Hey, no, my God is a great God. Yes. You got to personalize it. He will not fail you or forsake you. Now you see here, no matter how big the task is, we can be confident that God is bigger. No matter how big the problem is, we can be confident that God is bigger. Now, lastly, David constantly confessed his hope and praise in God. Psalms 32:4-5. There we go. "Let us go to the altar of God, the source of all my joy. I will praise you in my harp, oh my God." You know, here David said he would praise the Lord on his harp. He played the harp. He also probably sang some of these because the Psalms was Israel's prayer book and song book. Now, when discouragement comes, you need to be like David. Praise the Lord over and over again. I'm sure that Paul and Silas sitting in that Philippian jail were a little discouraged. But they began to sing praises to God and the jail bust open.
Yes, amen.
See, praising God is an antidote that will deter discouragement. But it is also the remedy that will get rid of discouragement.
Yes.
Discouragement flees at the voice of praise.
Yes.
So when you feel discouraged, lift your voice.
Yes.
And begin to praise God. Now, I'm not a singer, but I can get off by myself in my office. I get in my car, and I'll be driving down the road, and I start singing praises to God with, because I keep, you know, good Christian music on my radio all the time, and I start singing praises to God with those, you know. Or sometimes I just start singing a song, or just start praising God. And it says you'll have psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sometimes if you just start praising God, God will give you words.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
That will encourage you as you see, that's for your encouragement.
Yes.
You encourage yourself. In fact, there when David came back to Ziklag and the city was burned and destroyed, it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord.
Yes.
Instead of letting disappointment set in, he encouraged himself in the Lord. The bottom line is you don't ever need to give up. Continue to praise God and you'll come out on top. Anybody ever heard of a fellow by the name of Dr. Norman Vincent Peale? You know, he was the pastor of the Marble Collegiate Church in New York City. He had taken his manuscript, Power of Positive Thinking. Anybody ever read that? Power of Positive Thinking. Some of you have. I see you shaking your head. To many, many, many publishers, and they all rejected it. Finally, he was so discouraged that he threw the manuscript in the wastebasket. But his wife, Ruth, fished it out and insisted one more time, take it to one more. And the Power of Positive Thinking has been published. It was published in 1952. It sold over 20 million copies in 42 different languages. And yet, it almost was never published. But because his wife said, don't give in to discouragement, that book was published and it's blessed a lot of people. Hello?
Yes.
Today, if you're discouraged, or any day you become discouraged, I want you to realize your path out of discouragement is praise to God.
Yes.
You didn't get discouraged by doing nothing. You got discouraged because you were trying something or doing something and somebody failed you or it failed or something. So you don't stay discouraged. You get out of discouragement by praising God. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in noontime. Praise him when the sun goes down. Praise him at night. Praise him all the time. Continually praise God. Continually be praising God. I mean, I'm driving down the road. Nobody else in the car but me. I'm on my way to the office. And I just start saying, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can't do that, but say that two or three or four or five times, and all of a sudden you begin to feel something.
Amen. Yes, amen.
Because you can't begin to praise God without the Spirit of God beginning to rise up on the inside of you.
Amen.
You see, you have the Spirit on the inside of you. And the Spirit just sits there dormant until you begin to do something. But when you begin to praise God, it begins to release the Spirit on the inside.
Yes.
Before you know it, you're praising God out with that heavenly language. Amen.
Yes.
Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Amen. Discouragement comes to everybody, but you don't have to stay discouraged. Heavenly Father, I pray that the words we've said tonight will find lodgment in hearts. I pray that every individual in this place will take what words was needed for their life and apply them to their life. And may we continue to receive all the blessings of God and not allow the discouragement to drive us away from the blessing, but allow discouragement to praise you more and more so that we will receive all of your blessings. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you happen to be in this place today, you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I want you to know him before you leave here. Or if you need to rededicate your life to God. Anybody here, I want to pray with you and for you, simply raise your hand. Well, praise the Lord. Everybody stand, please. Praise God. If you're here and you need prayer for healing tonight, if you'll come forward, we'll lay hands on you. According to the Word of God, it says they lay hands on the sick and they recover. If you need prayer for healing, come forward right now. We'll pray for you. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Amen. Well, next Sunday night, 6:00, we're going to be here again. Okay? Don't let discouragement get you down. Shake hands with somebody and say, I'm not going to let discouragement get me down. God bless you. We'll see you next week.